Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Parents Tool Talk Radio with your host, Jody Johnston Powell, licensed social worker, certified family life educator, second generation parent educator, and author of the award-winning book, The Parents Tool Shop, the universal blueprint for building a healthy family. For over 25 years, Jody has been training parents and family service professionals nationwide and serving as a parenting expert to the media worldwide. Now, through the Parents Tool Talk radio show and teleseminar series, Jody shares her practical advice and introduces you to other experts who can give you proven, effective advice on the issues that matter most to parents. So get ready to be informed, entertained, and enlightened as we join Jody now.
Hello, and welcome to Parents Tool Talk Radio. I am so glad you've joined us today. I'm Jody Johnston Powell, author of The Parents Tool Shop, and I'm your host. Our topic in honor of Father's Day is fathers and fatherhood, and I've invited a guest expert for today's discussion. But before we get started, I just want to give a quick reminder to any foster parents who are on the line, who are listening, to remember to check in at the beginning and the end of the show today to qualify for continuing education credits. Just call in or use the chat room. All the directions are at www.parentstooltalk.com. Now, I'm anxious to dive in and introduce you to my guest today. Dr. Janice Kelly is going to be talking with me about some of the myths and challenges of fatherhood. We're going to talk about how the media portrays fathers and some of the current and future trends that are affecting fathers. So let me tell you a little bit about her. Dr. Janice Kelly earned her doctorate degree from Columbia Teachers College in Communication and Education. Her research specialty is family communication, fatherhood, and interpersonal relationship communications. Her research project was called A Comparison of Primetime Situation Comedy Fathers and Real Fathers on Involvement, Communication, and Affection, which has appeared in USA Today, Big Apple Parenting Magazine, The New York Post, and other national and international publications, as well as family-oriented conferences and journals. She serves as a consultant to both state and local family agencies and grassroots fatherhood initiative projects. She serves as a guest editor for the journal Fathering, Theory, Research, and Practice about Men as Fathers, and she recently produced a documentary on Perceptions of Fathers in the Media, In Search of the Ideal Father. And we'll be talking a little bit more about that DVD once Janet comes on. So let's get Janice on here. Thank you for joining me on the call today, Janice.
Oh, thank you. And I'm just so happy to be here and talking about fatherhood. And, you know,
well,
we're
good.
Celebrating 100 years of fatherhood this year. This is a big event.
It is. I don't think I realized that.
Yes, it's 100 years old.
Well, there you go. We should be doing something special then, right?
Yeah.
Very good. Now, before we dive into our discussion, Janice, I know that we want people to call in with their questions and get involved in the discussion. So just let me real quick tell our listeners how they can participate during our live call.
Okay.
Folks, we'll take calls around 20 and 40 minutes after the hour to call in with your question. If you haven't called in already, just dial 347-205-9600. And then press the one keypad on your telephone to raise your hand and get into the call queue. You can just call and listen, but if you hit the one, then we'll know that you actually have a question. You can also, if you're listening online or don't want to do a long-distance call, you can go to the Parents Tool Talk chat room during the interview, and my producer, Chris Gooley, will take your question and pass it on to us. So to do that, just go to www.parentstooltalk.com, click the chat button near the player. So I'll give you those instructions again once we are ready to break at 20 after for calls, but let's get back to Janice Kelly and our topic today, which is fathers and fatherhood. So Janice, first of all, before we kind of dive into the whole discussion, I'd like for folks to get to know you just a little bit better.
Okay.
And I don't mean to sound sexist, but I'm sure that our listeners are wondering why there are two women on the show who are talking, and one of them is an expert on fatherhood. So let me just say that we actually had quite a few other candidates. All of the other candidates were men, And several were actually very well qualified to be on today's Father's Day show. But I tell you, Janice, your expertise in fatherhood just rose you to the top of the pile. And it actually came down to my producer and I discussing, well, should we not be sexist and go based on qualifications, or should we pick someone who's a man? And we decided that if we want a guest expert, we were going to go for expertise, and there you are. Now you're on the show.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad there's an inclusion in this topic.
I know. It was kind of a weird reverse discrimination moment for us.
Yes.
So tell us then, because I'm intrigued, how, you know, the fact that dads are men, how did you end up choosing fatherhood as your area of expertise and become such an expert on fatherhood?
Well, I'll give you a little roadmap of how I got there. As an undergrad student, there were two books that helped me identify my research interest. They were The Way We Never Were, American Families and the Nostalgia Trap by Stephanie Coutts, and The Psychology of Television by John Conrad. Now, these two books gave me the critical lens needed to analyze media messages and the image of family life on television. And so I began to analyze the image of traditional versus non-traditional family life on network television. And then I studied the image of working class family life versus the middle class family. But more importantly, I started to become interested in the image of gender roles in the media and what it meant to be a father and husband as well as a mother and a wife. And that was the beginning of my interest in the world of media and representation of gender. But then my focus continued, but it took a more casual route. And I was walking down the New York City street one day, and I overheard a father talking to his son and quoting a line from the Bill Cosby show. Well, my first instinct was to laugh. And I just, you know, somehow just put that in the back of my head. That was quite interesting. But a couple of months later, I heard another father talking to his sons, quoting from television. I think it was the George Lopez show. And it became a aha. It was saying to me that there was a teaching moment going on amongst men and that active learning was going on while fathers were watching family situation comedies. But what really made me say I want to study this particular topic called fatherhood was when I was teaching a class as an undergrad, as a graduate student, and I was teaching a family communication course. And there was a young man who stood up in the course because we were talking about fatherhood and fathers and mothers and roles. And I remember he was saying he was going to be a father soon. And his mother kept asking him, well, what kind of father are you going to be? And the young man said, well, I don't know. I grew up without a father. And so what I'm going to do is borrow those images that I grew up with looking at fathers on television. Well, that was my aha moment. That clicked.
Yeah.
That I realized that I was going to invest in the academic research on how popular culture and media particularly portray fathers. And so that was the beginning. Later on, I started to do research and saying, you know, if it is true that we have a majority of boys being raised in the absence of men, and these boys are now going to borrow images from popular culture, you know, what are those images? You know, are they healthy? Are they harmful? You know, what do they tell them about family life, fatherhood, and relationships? And so I started to do more research on the perceptions of what young people think fathers ought to be, and then for those with fathers, what fathers are. So is there a conflict between what they see on TV and what their fathers are? And is television a positive tool? You know, we never ask that. Is television a positive tool for young fathers who have no interaction with their biological father? Is this a helpful tool that they are now looking at these images, the Bill Cosby, George Lopez, Bernie Mac, and such? And so what I did was I studied for 2 years young people between the ages of 14 to 20, their perceptions and what they were learning from watching television. You know, what are their fathers like now, but what would you like them to have in terms of characteristics or attributes and tools, communication skills? And so that's how I got into the issue of fatherhood. And I got some wonderful feedback from young people. I had one young man who was Asian descent, and he said, you know, I wish my father was more open and that we could have moments where we can talk. Television fathers make it seem so easy. A young Caribbean man said to me, you know, my father's so silent to me. And again, the ease of watching TV fathers talking to their children, even if it's giving them, you know, timeouts or discipline, is something that I yearn for. So there's something going on that the kids are not just passively watching these shows. They're making comparisons about what their fathers at home are and what they want their fathers to be. You know, this might be unrealistic or painful to hear, but it is interesting that there is some kind of a cognitive process going on as they are watching television. When my son grows up, he'll tell me what he wanted me to be someday. I'm afraid to hear that. But I also thought what was interesting, and this is how I also got more involved, you know, is the majority of my students or my participants that I studied, and there was over 160, many of them had favorable views of Homer Simpson. And I didn't understand it, and I had to investigate that, and so I had some open-ended questions in my research. And they thought, what I thought was interesting was, although Homer Simpson seemed to be a buffoon, he was really a family guy. You know, he didn't understand Lisa. She was a little bit above him, highbrow, but he was willing to understand her. He was willing to have a relationship with Bart. He was passionately in love with his wife. And I think that it was the simplistic messages that young people were getting that made Homer stand out, you know.
Wow.
And so I had another critical lens looking at Homer Simpson. So these are the reasons why, or the ways that I got involved in fatherhood. Another thing that I just finished, as you were saying, was my journal, my fatherhood journal, where I was glad to collectively collaborate with other scholars who are now serious about looking at the media. What are these messages, and do these messages have an impact on how young people are growing up to look at relationships and parenting and gender roles, and particularly fatherhood? And
yeah.
So I collectively got together a group of scholars to publish, you know, looking at the media. One of the things we are starting to look at is the music world, you know, what kind of songs are being sung, you know, how does that impact young people? And getting involved in mass media, holding mass media to a level where, you know, there is a critical lens to it. And not just, you know, look at it and say, boom, you know, let's just put it under the rug that, you know, that's just television or that's just popular culture. But I think youngsters are really taking messages from this and interpreting or internalizing them.
That was
my journey. It was really through media that I slowly got into fatherhood. And interesting enough, it allowed me to be part of, if quote-unquote, I know there might be some people not liking this, but the men's club, you know, because I had the media perspective of it, I was allowed to be part of a very male-oriented circle. And I think that was interesting because at times I think some of the men in the fatherhood field feel that sometimes the women feminize the discussion. And what my role is to just interpret and give feedback and a critical lens on the media and how children are interpreting the media to open up the discussion instead of making it a more gendered-based dialogue.
Good. And let's do that, because I'd like for you to share some of the kind of the myths and the truths of fatherhood that have come out, the media stereotypes, because what I'm hearing is not just that young men are growing up and looking and at evaluating their own fathers, but then it sounds like they're also looking to the media for their role models for the kind of father that they want to be and are making decisions based on these characters, you know, all of them fictional. You know, characters, most of the time, fictional characters, and how they want to be. So what are just, you know, some short but maybe profound, I know in my newsletter I shared some surprising statistics about fathers and the importance of fatherhood, and, you know, some people think maybe fathers aren't all that important, or that, you know, all dads are those goofy buffoons, and, you know, so just kind of you could encapsulate quickly What would be some of those myths and truths and stereotypes that you've seen rise to the top?
Oh, one of the myths, I think, is that dads would rather spend time at the office instead of at home. I think fathers are having a difficult time, just like working mothers, balancing career and family life. I think that they're, instead of putting it in two gender camps, I think that there's a real strong vocal voice that both parties want to balance this thing called career and family life. And fathers really want to be active and participating and engaged in the family, and they feel a tug of war with themselves.
And don't you think that's a sign of our times too? Because probably in the 50s, you know, gender roles were very specific, and women were in the home, and fathers were in work, and when he came home, you know, wife got slippers, and, you know, and the role wasn't really envisioned to be all that interactive, whereas, you know, dads are really recognizing and really getting in touch with, you know, that love for their kids and their desire to be involved. So they're almost, you know, in the same way that women kind of went through their let's get out of the home and into the workforce, it's almost like the dads are kind of, what I'm hearing you say, going through the reverse, which is getting back from work into the home and learning how to engage on the home front.
And this is why communication is so important to fathers, you know, because it is allowing them to be in the home and trying to find ways to balance. Interesting, 71% of fathers between the ages of 25 to 40 are now taking paternity leave. Now, this is interesting because now fathers are finding it is important for bonding. They understand those first 6 weeks are essential for them to be, not just for the baby, but for the mother as well, as a unit. And so now they're taking paternity leave. Also, what is interesting is that fathers are opting out in terms of flexible time. They would rather do a longer time, meaning 12, 14 hours in a day, so they could have Fridays off to be with the family. Mm-hmm. So you really are seeing measures, I think, where fathers are trying to say, I'm trying to pull back and still be active in my career, but still become visible and active in the family.
Yeah, and I think with today's technology, that's a great advantage that they can do some telecommuting, working from home. Yeah, and we'll be talking later on in a later segment about, you know, dads that are traveling and on the road a lot. I'm sure we'll come back to that topic.
Right.
Before we go to our break at 20 after, are there any kind of universal issues that you think kind of all dads have? I know after the break we're going to be talking more about some special issues that some dads face, but what are some of the universal issues that you think almost all dads face and any maybe advice or suggestions that you would offer them?
That fathers have to be the disciplinarian. I've been in father groups, and they just don't like it. They are so vocal, and I'm talking about cultural differences, class differences, everything. They don't want to be the disciplinarian because they believe this pushes the child away from the bonding of the father. You know, when you hear, wait until your father gets home.
It sets him up as the bad guy. And one thing that I address with that in my parenting class is that there's the other mythic part of that is that you have to be a bad guy to discipline.
Yeah.
And I know the way that I teach parents to discipline, you don't have to be the bad guy to do it. It's a teachable moment, and it actually promotes communication and bonding rather than pushing the child away and creating resentment and distance. It actually draws the child in to the relationship and involves them, and it's actually a teachable moment. So,
absolutely.
You know, there's two myths there.
And I think fathers are really becoming vocal. They don't like that they have to be, and I think you're right, that they look like they're the bullies or that they are the ones that can only punish. And so this puts a little fear in the children. But it's an unfair, I think, many of them express it. It's quite unfair because they don't want that to be their role.
Yeah, and whether they're married or not, moms and dads of a child need to be working together as a team, not just, you know, one is set up in this role, the other set up in that role, and they're not collaborating.
Right.
You know, that just sets up, kids can manipulate better.
Well, exactly. And I think you're right. When fathers are trying to, particularly fathers who are divorced or separated, are trying to find different ways of connecting with their children, identifying the father as a disciplinarian does not help. When fathers are trying to create open communication and a bond and a common ground, those are not helpful terms to give to a father.
Yeah. We're at 20 after, so we need to take a quick break just so that we can let people know how to do calls. But if you have a few more universals, we may be able to come back after. We'll see if we have any calls. Let me just take a few quick minutes to welcome anybody who has joined the show. A little bit late. This is Parents Tool Talk, and I'm your host, Jody Johnson Powell of the Parents Tool Shop. And today we're talking with Dr. Janice Kelly, who's an assistant professor of communication, arts, and sciences at Molloy College in New York City. So we are going to open up the phone lines at this point for this first round of questions, and would like to invite our callers to call in with any questions that they have about the topics that Janice and I have covered so far. Remember to ask a question, you just dial 347-205-9645, and you'll hear a short prompt, after which you can press the 1 key on your phone's keypad to raise your hand so we know that you have a question. And if you're in the chat room, now would be the time to submit your question in the chat room, and my producer will be looking at that while I make the following announcement. I do just want to let everybody know that invite everyone to sign up for our Parents Tool Talk radio show mailing list. If you do, you'll get access to this month's post-show bonus resources, which we'll be telling you about in the second break. We'll offer links to some of the featured resources that we're going to have today, both from Parents Tool Shop and from Dr. Janice Kelly. And we also, you'll get information about upcoming shows and tips on how to download the recordings, how to subscribe to the RSS feed, and more. So you get lots of exclusive information and resources and bonuses and discounts that we only make available to those listeners that are on that list. So I want you to know that, as always, you know, I value your privacy, so I'm not going to sell or give those, you know, that information to anyone. You are on our private list, and it stays that way. So please feel free to sign up for that. To sign up for that, your radio show list, just go to parentstoolshop.com/tele. That's www.parentstoolshop, all one word, .com/TELE, and that's all lowercase. So it looks like I don't think we have any questions at this point. So actually, let's just go ahead and get back with Janice, and that gives us more time to talk. We'll have another round of questions about 40 minutes after the hour. So Janice, let's kind of get back. We've talked about the importance of fatherhood, some of the missing truths, and you also were starting to give us some universal advice, and so you can finish that up, and then we can move into talking about dads with special circumstances. So, and I kind of cut you off on the universal. Any other universal issues and advice you would offer dads?
I think also that fathers, you know, one of the things that I'm trying to see how I should phrase it, but one of the universal myths about fathers is that they don't want children, you know, that it's really the moms, you know, with their biological clocks that are ticking, that they want children. And I'm trying to figure out who the research just came out. I think it's the National Fatherhood Initiative that shows between the ages of 30 to 40 that fathers really want children. And I'm not just saying all. I mean, that's an absolute. But I'm saying that they might not have that urge in their 20s because fathers are focusing on careers. But by 30, they are more established in their careers, and they really do open up to the idea of having children. And so for them, it's the issue of stability and providing that becomes the driving force that now they can have children. And so it's quite interesting that both groups do want to have children. It might be different time periods.
And do you still see, because you had mentioned, you know, stability, so do you still see a universal issue for fathers still feeling pressure to be the primary breadwinner?
I was going to go right to that. Absolutely. Yeah. This is the issue that has to be discussed in both groups. The issue and the definition of breadwinner. Because I think that there's several interesting things. I mean, in the United States, we do know that there are more and more women going to graduate school. And if they advance in their careers and with their degrees, you know, they might be the primary breadwinner. Now, will that definition change, meaning breadwinner? I don't know. But we do know that people who I've researched still believe that the male's role in the family is to be the primary provider.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very interesting thing. And I think across culturally, you still see that the male has to be the primary provider of the family. So
yeah.
You're still dealing with breadwinner versus nurturer issues. And I think
right.
that is a, you know, and now I think with the younger fathers, you're seeing more of a movement of with dialogue and research coming out, saying that fathers want to be less of the breadwinner and to be balanced with the nurturing aspect of parenting.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're trying
yeah.
to figure out, too, new definitions to give what they do in the family.
Yeah, and it seems as though the myth there for them is that they feel that they're exclusive, that that's exclusive, that you would either have to be the breadwinner or be involved
right.
as a father, and
right.
that they don't have to be mutually exclusive.
Well, you know, and this is why I said it was problematic when I was doing research on family shows on network television, because if you look from 2006 to 2008, most of the family situation comedy shows, the mothers never worked. So whether
right.
it's everyone loves Raymond or Bernie Mac, or I think his wife did work. She was one of the rare ones. But most of the shows during 2006 to 2008, the
wow.
women, the mothers, stayed home. So
that's
again, making the fathers the breadwinner.
Right, which you would expect that for, you know, the father knows best in the Leave It to Beaver era. You
right.
would expect that. And Claire Huxtable in the Cosbys, you know, she was an attorney, right? So she
yes.
was a real professional. So that was she, I mean, they broke all kinds of stereotypes and myths, I think, with their roles. But
right.
That's really amazing that in, you know, 2006, 2007, just a few years ago, that it would still be predominantly that
yes.
that would be the image of moms.
And I no one really picked up on that. And I just said, it's interesting because they never, you know, I think Raymond one time made a comment to his wife about, I'm the breadwinner, you know,
mm.
and she said, you know, well, I'm the wife
yeah.
here and the mother. And so it was just that one episode where they were talking about their roles. But, you know, it was all the other shows, they don't use the word breadwinner, but for her staying in home and him going out of the home to work, it's implied.
Yeah.
And that's a very interesting thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we won't go down that road, but there's also a sense, there's a power that comes
yeah.
with that, too. And that's probably a whole other radio show that we could
right.
do just on.
But that's what I research, because that is about power. Exactly.
Right.
And that's a whole separate thing. But that is something that, right. And breadwinner is still an issue.
Role.
Exactly.
Right.
So those are the two things that I really notice universally, is the disciplinarian and the breadwinner. And across
okay.
the board, it's still... It still has life, those two things.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Well, let's talk about some special issues or special dads. You know, when there are some special issues that dads may need to deal with. I know I had asked if maybe we could talk a bit about maybe single and divorced dads, maybe some of the special challenges that they face, and maybe any suggestions that you might have. So what have you seen, married versus single versus divorced, some special issues there?
Well, one of the things with single fathers, and I was just, you know, doing some reading and some research on this, one of the things that I've noticed, and a lot of the fatherhood movements are trying to get the dialogue out there and information, is that single fathers need to know their rights. And there seems to be a
yeah.
tug of war between their child support and their if they don't provide child support, their inability to visit their children. And those
yeah.
two things are separate.
But
there
yeah.
is a real
That's
problem.
Something, that is
yeah.
something I mentioned in the e-book that we're going to mention at the resources, is because I think a lot of times moms will say, well, if you don't give me money, then I'm withholding visitation.
Yeah.
And
yes.
they don't have a right to do that. So, yeah, I go into that a little bit in my ebook
and,
also.
And the younger fathers don't quite understand their role and their rights. And so when she says this, he believes he does not have
right.
a right to visit. And the real problem with the single dad, and particularly the uninformed single dad, is that the person who's being harmed is the child.
right.
this misinformation and not being aware of what his role is as a provider. And I'm talking about emotional development provider. And I think this is a real harm for single fathers. And I think another thing that we need to start talking about with single dads is support groups, whether it's divorced fathers or single fathers. You know, I was talking to you before, there are 2.3 million single fathers in the United States. You know, where's their support system? What are new to this experience? What is new to the culture? Is a very interesting thing. And I was saying, go ahead.
Yeah, and I think, and talking, if I can, before we move on to that topic, I just want to make one last comment on the visitation issue, because the other thing that I really see is that still today, the courts, generally speaking, do tend to be more prejudiced in favor of moms versus dads in terms of custody, visitation. And a lot of divorced dads take my parenting class. You know, a lot of them are court ordered, you know, as a result of divorce, but many of them want to get custody. And what the hoops that they would have to jump through to get custody of their children are far greater than what the moms have to. And sometimes in some situations, there have been some very, you know, drug addicted moms or whatever that the courts automatically kind of go on the mom's side. And dads really have to be informed and assertive, and I don't want to use the word fight because I don't want it to be a negative thing, but they've really got to work a lot harder at proving themselves than sometimes women do in the court system.
In my parenting classes, I have to tell you, there are fathers who are so afraid when they go to court and that they become numb inside, and whatever the judge says, they're just say, okay, fine. And they don't know that they have a stake in having a voice in the process. And I think you're right. I think there's fear. I think that they believe that they have to fight even more, and they don't even understand why they have to fight to show that they were active and participating and important in the child's life. And I really think that for some men, I think that they see the courts as an unfair advantage. You're right, to the mother.
And just having to go to court and have to interact, it keeps things stirred up between mom and dad, which then it makes things tense between the two of them. And so I think a lot of dads also just kind of back down and say, well, you know, it's probably not worth it anyway, or I can't afford it, and, you know, they're probably not going to, you know, rule in my favor anyway, and then it's just more hassle, and then I got to deal with her, you know. And so I think it all kind of combines to separating dads more from their kids when they really want to be there for them. And I think it's just such a tough battle sometimes that dads just kind of give up.
Yeah, and that's why I think, you know, as we are moving into a very interesting family structure, you know, what's going to be in place? Are we going to have something like divorce mediation sessions, which should be cropping up more and more, and family life educators getting involved in mediating visitation and talking to how you can structure your family for the benefit of the child or the children, taking it away from the two individuals who might still be fighting and focusing on the child or the children. And that might be the way to go. But again, it's about educating yourself and what does it mean to be a single or divorced father, and what are your rights, and you have to educate yourself on those issues.
And during the times when fathers are with their kids, and you know, two aspects of that, of what how about if you can offer some suggestions when dads can't be with their kids all the time? What are some things that they can do when they are together? And then if you could next talk a little bit about when they're apart or are traveling or maybe in the military, we might move into that secondarily. But how about some suggestions for what dads can do when they are with their kids? And this would not necessarily be just divorced dads. It could also be, you know, if dads have a date night, you know, with their kids and it's just them. What are some suggestions you have for dads when they're alone and it's them with the kids for what they could do?
Well, you know, one of the things I always say is that find out what the kids are doing and then join them. I know it sounds very simplistic, but it works. In my training manual, when I talk about in the DVD, one of the things I said, you know, if when your daughter comes to you and says, "Can I paint your toenails?" You know, don't look at that and say, "Oh my God, you want to paint my toenails?" you know, I mean, have fun with her. Have fun with him when he says, hey, can you play, you know, video games with me? But more importantly, it's the communication. And that's where I come in as a family communicator. It's about talking about your childhood and talking about the things that you found were interesting and you wanted to share. And I say sometimes when we get into, you know, fathers who travel a lot or military fathers, writing letters are so important for children. Leaving Post-its, a funny picture of you with your son or your daughter, and you woke up one morning and saw a picture and just put it on his or her mirror. Those are wonderful things that allow kids to throughout the day to say, my dad really cares.
Yeah.
You know,
and even
making pancakes in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And long distance, the advantage of having technology now is, you know, being able to send an email or an audio or a video. You know, those are all much easier to do if somebody has access to the equipment.
Right.
Even easier, even long distance.
I had one father who had to go to Japan for 6 months, and he left little notes. He started writing little notes. It wasn't on an index card, so it wasn't long letters, just little things of rhymes and poetry and just little silly thoughts. And he gave it to the wife and said, you know, every day I want you to put this in her knapsack. And so every day she just kept thinking about her dad. And these were just silly things, but they keep you thinking about the person that you're missing right there, which is your father.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just fun things that you can do. It doesn't have to be, you know, let's sit down and have a long, thoughtful discussion, but it can be moments of just having a bonding moment.
Yeah.
And I think another thing that you can do is, like you said, it's like date night, but taking your children and saying, you know, whoever, mom or the caregiver, I'm going to take the kids out and we're going to spend, you know, a Saturday together. And I know in New York City, you see a lot of fathers with their children on Saturdays. The mothers are
yeah.
not there,
and
just the father bonding with the children.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, Janice, I was a bit distracted because on my end I'm hearing your voice breaking up, and I don't know if our producer is hearing that also or not. I wasn't sure if that was just me.
Okay.
So I apologize. I kind of paused there when you – I'm sorry. I was distracted for a second and was checking with my producer to see if that was all okay. So right now you're sounding okay. It was just every now and then I heard a little bit of a breakup.
Jody. I'll chime in here if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Just want to let you know that actually you're both breaking up a little bit. I'm not sure what the reason is,
but
I'd say let's just keep going.
Okay.
And if we do happen to get garbled, you know, if you can't hear me, and I'll do likewise, I may have to ask you to repeat, Janice, because I don't want to miss anything.
So, okay.
So any other suggestions for long-distance parenting for dads or the military?
There were several things, but the one that I liked was sharing notes.
The other
thing with the military fathers, per se, is that I know AT&T and other telephone companies are working out programs where fathers can read stories to their children. And this is a wonderful program, and I forgot who's sponsoring this. It's AT&T, obviously, but I forgot what literacy program is sponsoring this project, where fathers and mothers can sit down and call from a distance and actually read the favorite book with their child. And this
what a wonderful idea.
Yes. I do know AT&T has been doing this for quite some time with the prison population. Which is interesting.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh,
and
that's a whole nother.
Yes.
I didn't even think of that. Yeah.
Yes. And so this has been an interesting project that's been going on for the last 10 years in the prison population, and now what they're doing, meaning AT&T and others, are using this with the military population. So maybe a Wednesday night, you sit down with a favorite book of your son or daughter's, and you sit down and you read to them. But, yes, this has been going
wonderful.
On with the prison population, and now it's now being used with the military population.
Wonderful. Wonderful. One last question before we go to our break in just a minute or so. We've talked a lot about the importance of dads and dads that want to be involved. Any comments on dads that are absent and maybe the effect that has on children?
Yes. Oh, wow.
And now I'm kind of coming out of the blue on that one. It just occurred to me.
I had to sit down for that one because the research that's coming out about children who are in households void of a father, it just doesn't look good. The research that shows that children who are raised in the presence of a father or stepfather are more likely to be above poverty level, that their teenage children are more likely to be void of early sexual experiences or becoming teenage parents, more likely or less likely to commit delinquent acts, do better in school, do better and be more successful in adult life and marriage, and less likely to fall to peer pressure. So, interesting. I think it, again, was the National Fatherhood Initiative Project in Washington, D.C. that did an intensive study and found out that 70% of all prisoners in jail come from fatherless households.
Yeah, and if folks newsletter list, you saw this in my newsletter, and if not, you can go onto our archive. But I had some statistics very similar to that, in that the issue of fatherlessness was so strong of a predictor in determining whether or not a child, both teens and adults, would go into crime, that it even countered issues such as socioeconomic, education, and income as being a more determining factor. I don't know that I'm saying that correctly, all the statistic-wise, but I have it worded better in my newsletter. I'm not reading it word for word here. So. Well, on that, we'll leave that thought there, because I really want to emphasize the importance of fathers. And, you know, I think we kind of started with that, but I think that's one thing. It's not good news, but I think it's important to know. I know in my e-book, and I'm getting ready to give people more information on this, there are some suggestions in there, you know, for maybe moms who are parents of children that don't have a father in their lives, and some ways that they, it's difficult to compensate and replace. I don't want to use either one of those words, but sometimes it is what it is. And it is important for children to have a positive male role model, someone who is a father figure. And if that really isn't possible, there are ways. And I know I offer some suggestions there, so. Well, let's shift gears, and actually, Janice, I'm going to give you a chance to catch your breath and to get a sip of water. We are about 40 after the hour or so, and we have a few additional announcements before we get back to Janice and talk a little bit more about some final comments. But if possible, I'd like to go ahead and open up the lines again. And welcome everybody. Just kind of remind everyone who we are and what we're doing. This is Jody Johnson Powell of the Parents Tool Shop. This is Parents Tool Talk Radio, and today we're talking with Dr. Janice Kelly, the Assistant Professor of Communication Arts and Sciences at Molloy College in New York City. And it's our Father's Day special. We are talking about the importance of fathers and fatherhood. And so we are going to open up the lines again and see if anybody does have questions. If you do, you can call in at area code 347-205-9654 and then hit the 1 on your phone keypad to raise your hand, or you can send us a question using the chat room at www.parentstooltalk.com. So while folks are coming in, I'd actually like to talk about the resources that we have available for the members of our mailing list today, after today's show. What I've done this month is, it's also available in our newsletter, is that with a lot of help from my colleagues at the National Parent Educator Network, I compiled a list of the top 10 most recommended resources for fathers on the Internet. And the list includes tips on fathering that you can ask to receive by email, communities and resources for stay-at-home dads, personal blogs and podcasts, and much, much, much more. So we'll be sending that list out today to everyone who is on our Parents Tool Talk radio show mailing list. And once again, the sign-up page for that is parentstoolshop.com/telly, and the telly is all lowercase. So now, actually, I need to get a sip of water and catch a breath. So actually, Chris, how about if you make some additional announcements about some of the featured resources we have, both from Parents Tool Shop and from Janice Kelly, our guest expert.
Sure, Jody. I guess the host needs a break every once in a while, too. Yeah, I will take care of that for you. We have two featured resources this month, one from Parents Tool Shop and the other from our guest, Dr. Janice Kelly. So I'll start with the Parents Tool Shop resource, which is our digital download ebook on effective single parenting, or ESP for short. This 30-page ebook helps explain the myths and truths about single parenting and offers tips for managing the top 10 challenges that all single parents face. It also offers tips that will meet the special needs of part-time single parents, unwed parents, divorced parents, widowers, and single parents by choice. In addition, the Effective Single Parenting ebook will give you links to over 100 resources for single parents, including books, support groups, internet resources, articles, and personal coaching opportunities. There is also a bibliography and a list of references to the specific endnotes that are cited throughout the book. And, wrong page. okay, that's
tell
the first
them,
for the producer.
To tell them how to get it, Chris.
Fix up those pages, yeah. Thank you very much. Okay, if you are interested in this resource, and once again, it is a limited time free resource, just go to www.parentstoolshop.com/singleparents to get your ESP ebook through our online store. And once again, that is a limited time free resource, so no cost to you. Now, our guest, Dr. Janice Kelly, has also provided us with information about how listeners can obtain a copy of her DVD documentary, Perceptions of Fathers in the Media, In Search of the Ideal Father. This documentary was produced by Dr. Janice Kelly, and its goal is to facilitate conversation that will help deconstruct the images built around media, fatherhood in the media, and create a more reality-based image of fathers. So this DVD is available for free through the New York State Fatherhood Initiative website. And for those of our listeners who are service providers or parent educators and such, there is also a training curriculum that you can request along with the DVD. And to obtain your copy of that, just go to www.dads.ny.gov and download the DVD order form. So once more, that address is www.dads.ny.gov. And now I'll hand things back over to you, Jody, before I get my pages confused again.
Thank you, Chris. Yes, and actually I just went and put my order in for my copy of the DVD, and I'm glad that you mentioned the training curriculum, because I didn't realize that until I saw the order form. Janice, is that also the DVD and training curriculum and the presentation of that? Are those also free?
Yes, everything is free.
That's wonderful.
Yes, I'm hoping that your audience will enjoy that.
Oh, we have a lot of parent educators who are on our list and who are often listening. They don't always call in live because we are at noon or at 9. We're during the day, so some folks can't always get away from work. But we have quite a few people who do listen to the RSS feed and download afterwards. So I'm hoping the other parent educators will see this, because that's wonderful. I think I'd mentioned that in my very first session of my parenting class, when we cover parenting styles, if we have time, sometimes one of the fun things I'll do is we'll list all the different all the different families that we've seen on TV, and then for both the mother and the father, we look at what their parenting style was. And so
right.
To have something additional beyond that, to go a little bit further around the issue of media and dads, I think that's just wonderful. I hope everybody goes out and orders that DVD.
And I just wanted to add one thing that you said before the break. There's a section in the training curriculum of helping mothers look at these TV shows and start to talk to boys, their sons, about the characteristics of what it means to be a dad. So even if the son is not being raised with a father in the household, how can the mothers begin to start talking to their sons about the characteristics and the elements of what it means to be a father?
Yeah. Oh, wonderful. That sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
Now, while Chris was giving the announcements, I was checking the switchboard. I'm not seeing anybody who's calling in. Chris, do you have any questions in the chat room?
No.
Was that no?
Hi, Jody. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, blip on the switchboard. The chat room is question free. We have a couple of people hanging out, but we're all just listening.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Tell everybody we say hi. I don't do the chat. I get too distracted. So Chris, you say hi to everybody for me. All right. Well, Janice, then let's get back to talking about the we've already talked about how important fathers are, some myths and truths, how they're portrayed in the media. You gave us some universal parenting advice for all fathers. We've talked about some fathering under special circumstances, like being divorced or in the military. So kind of looking ahead, share with us, and I think I actually kind of cut you off a little bit earlier when you're talking about support groups, and I think you're kind of heading into some of what's out there for dads. I mean, share with us, fathers are currently dealing with, any future trends. What I've seen is it seems to me as though we're kind of entering a new phase. I think having a new president and first lady both making public comments about the importance of fathers, the importance of good parenting, Michelle Obama's, focus on military families. It seems as though there's change in the air, that some interesting changes could be ahead. And for dads in particular, it seems as though there may finally be, they're kind of getting their due attention.
Mm-hmm.
So share what you see going on now and where you see things heading in the future.
Well, I think you're right. I think that the new administration in Washington are now really continuing an investment in fatherhood. I do think that former President Bush was also big on investing mm-hmm. in fatherhood, and I think that this is continuing because we do understand that the research that's coming out again shows that that it is essential to have a father involved, or a mm-hmm. male caregiver, I should say, involved in the child's development. But I also think that many of us who do research in social policy and cultural understanding are also concerned of some of the trends that are coming down the pipeline. For example, Dr. Ronald Mensi, who's a eminent professor in the social work department at Columbia University, just came out with some research showing that the new image of poverty is going to be fathers, because of child support. And if a father, for example, has two children and then the mother and father get divorced and then he starts a second family, child support and the percentage that he has to pay, and particularly if he is at the level of $40,000 to $45,000 a year earner, he is not going to be able to sustain a family life or a functioning life paying child support and then trying to support his second family. And so there are some of in the social policy movement that are concerned that we're going to see the image of poverty move away from the mother-child and really start focusing on the father. And that's a real concern from some of them.
Yeah. So where do you see things changing or where do you think they should change?
Right. Well, this is where, I again, the courts have to get involved. What does that mean when there are fathers, and I know you probably heard the stories, where some fathers have opted to go to jail instead of paying child support. And then when they get out, they still have now an incurred cost to child support, that they get rearrested to go back to jail. These kinds of trends are happening, and we need to have an open dialogue. What do we do?
Yeah.
I think people are still scrambling to figure out what to do with that kind of experience that some fathers are going through, unable to afford. And then the judge would say, well, get two or three jobs. But if he gets two or three jobs, he then has no contact with his child. So.
Right.
I think there's going to be a major overhaul in the whole realm of child support and visitation, and I think once again sex education to help fathers know about what happens when you become a father, and particularly young fathers, and where we need to start having open dialogue, because the trends look horrific and they don't benefit the child. So
Social policy, it's a real catch-22.
Yeah, and again, you know, this whole movement that's going on June 20th, next Saturday in Washington, D.C., they're going to go to Washington and have the celebration, a major celebration of the 100 years of Father's Day. And part of what the speakers are going to be talking about is about social policy. How can we change it to benefit both parties as well as the child, and start talking about these kinds of trends that are not going to benefit society as a whole.
Yeah. Wow, that sounds great. I mean, in terms of what's coming up along the path, I think it's long overdue. A lot of what we're talking about are long overdue.
Well, we're also
seeing
this in England. We're seeing this, you know, at different countries.
Yeah.
Now fathers are saying, you know, there's something wrong here, and I want someone to hear my side of the story. And so I think that there is some there needs to be somewhere where both parties can be heard, but again, for the benefit of the child.
That sounds good. And, you know, actually, I think we do have some information, and we're getting close to the end of the show. So, actually, I know I sent some information to Chris about a rally that's going to be going on in D.C.
Right.
That I'm going to
mm-hmm.
have him share, because I think he has the information there. Let me real quick do a quick recap of what we covered, some of the resources, and let me hand off to Chris to do that little announcement before we get to that last minute where we have to wrap things up. So our guest today has been Dr. Janice Kelly. We've been talking about fathers and fatherhood. So, Janice, I appreciate all the insights and practical advice you gave us. Very, very lots of great content today. So, everybody, go to get her free DVD called Perceptions of Fathers in the Media. You can go to www.dads.ny.gov. And if you want, you can also order my ESP ebook. The ESP is Effective Single Parenting, which I'm offering at a limited time at no cost. That you can get at www.parentstoolshop.com/singleparents. Remember that you can get the list of resources, and also I think we're going to include information about this rally that Chris is going to tell you about in our post-show bonus call, our bonus resources. And you can get that by being on the Parents Tool Talk mailing list, and you sign up for that at parentstoolshop.com/Kelly, and that's T-E-L-E, all lowercase. And last thing I'll say, and then Chris, tell us about that rally, is I just want to remind foster parents, once the show ends, remember to send a chat message to check out from the call or stay on the phone an extra minute, and we'll note your phone number, and then we can verify your attendance for your CEUs. So, Chris, tell folks about that rally before we get to our final minute.
Sure, Jody. This is some information that was sent by email. National Fatherhood Leaders Group, a historic national responsible fatherhood event. It's occurring Saturday, June 20th of this year at Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. I'll read a little bit of the text here. In appreciation of the 100th anniversary of Father's Day, the rally partners believe this day will provide a new perspective on the true meaning of fatherhood. It will be a time for healing, restoration, and a chance for fathers to make a commitment to be the best dads they can. The goal is to get 1 million fathers to make a commitment on June 20th to become the greatest dads possible. Fathers and fathers-to-be not planning to attend the rally can make their commitment online at www.fathersdayrally.com. I'll be sure to include that web address in the post-show resources because there's also more information you can get there, including information on the rally itself and the purchase of rally T-shirts and other items. And there are also a couple extra phone numbers, too, that I'll be
include that in the list. Great, because I think we're running out of time. I'm seeing we're down to seconds. So, Janice, thank you again for joining us today. All right. And any final comments before you hear the music, once you hear the music?
I just want people to get proactive and get engaged and read more about their rights.
Good. Very good. Chris, anything that I cut you off that you want to say before the music starts?
I think I can sneak in the phone number here if people would
okay,
like to hear
good.
That. They can call for more information, 202-234-6725, or they can call 1-888-777-6725.
And there we go. You barely snuck it in under the wire. Sounds good. Thank you, everyone, for listening today and joining us on Parents Tool Talk. I'm Jody Johnson-Powell. My website is ParentsToolShop.com. And I hope you can join us again next month when our topic will be parenting older children. Until then, I wish you all a great weekend and a great month to follow. Talk to you next time. Take care.